Today's Minnesota Reads is made possible by the bookstore at Fitker's, a full-service book and toy store located on the bottom floor of Fitker's on Superior Street, online at fitkersbookstore.com. This week, our book is called Across the Deep Blue Sea, the saga of early Norwegian immigrants from Norway to America through the Canadian Gateway. Dr. Odd Lovell joins us on the phone this morning, the author of this book and actually many books on the Norwegian and immigrant experience. Dr. Lovell, thank you so very much for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you for having me.
So tell us about the idea of Norwegian immigrants migrating through the Canadian Gateway. I guess I figured in my naivete that the Norwegian immigrants perhaps came through Ellis Island like many other immigrants did. But I guess from talking to you and also from visiting Ellis Island for the first time last year, they really didn't. They were kind of already here by the time the big push was through Ellis Island.
Yes, that's right. The period I'm talking about is 1850 to 1874, when Norwegians actually, most of them, landed in Quebec City or in Montreal on Norwegian sailing ships, barks, and brigs. And the reason for that was that in 1850, the Great Britain abolished its Navigation Act, which had required that only British and colonial ships could do business or have traffic on British North America. This was abolished then in 1850, which then allowed for other nations to begin transporting goods and immigrants and whatever else they traded in. The trade on Canada was basically the timber trade. And Norwegian ships were the largest foreign ships, I mean the largest number of foreign ships that traded in timber from Canada to Great Britain. Some of these Norwegian ships then decided they could transport immigrants from Norway to Quebec so they would have cargo in both directions. This is something that Great Britain itself had done from the 1820s. It was very lucrative, and from the 1850s, Norwegian sailing ships could engage in this very profitable traffic.
So why were Norwegian immigrants anxious to pack up everything and leave everything and come to America? When you start to learn a little bit more about immigration and you can kind of try to put yourself in a person's shoes, it's really difficult for those of us who've lived in the same place our whole lives to imagine packing up and saying goodbye to your family, perhaps knowing you will never actually see them in person again, knowing that you can only communicate through letters.
Yes.
What was it, a spirit of adventure?
No, it was then they sought a better living. And immigration from Norway, as you know, began in 1825. It became annual from 1836, and this early immigration can be seen, this is upward mobility for many, because many of those did have money to go to America, even to invest in land. But from the 1850s, new social groups began immigrating, and one of the reasons for that is that Norway had an explosive population growth in the 19th century. Norway had the largest percentage-wise population growth of any European nation at that time. And although they would not starve in Norway, the opportunities were very few. And by the 1850s, there were enough people in America to send money back to those of the lower classes in prepaid tickets, so they also could make it across. So it was simply they sought a better life away from Norway. And as you say, it is very difficult to understand why people do that at any time. At this time, it was particularly difficult. These sailing ships took from 6 to 8 weeks to make it across. Today we get upset if we're 10 minutes late landing on the plane.
Exactly.
But they, and of course the conditions on board were extremely primitive. The ships they came over on were never made as, or never built as passenger ships. They were built for timber transportation. But then before they left Norway, they put in bed bunks and things of that kind. And it was extremely primitive and dangerous voyage across. And you sometimes wonder why they would subject themselves to this. And, of course, they never made it back to Norway. They said goodbye, and that was it. And many of them did not have any connection to Norway after they left. But most of those who landed in Quebec or Montreal did not stay in Canada. Canada became a corridor mainly to Illinois, Wisconsin, and eventually also then to Minnesota. So they had a very difficult journey also from Quebec to the upper Midwest. They talk about the West fever, which they caught, and the opportunities in the United States was much better. It is interesting to note two things. First of all, that the Norwegian ships were not always the best. There were a lot of deaths on board, and the Norwegian ships had a higher percentage of deaths than any other nationality because they were overcrowded. The other thing is that to begin with, had intended to go to the upper Midwest. It was simply that fares to Canada were cheaper, and the distance between Quebec and Wisconsin and Minnesota was shorter than from New York to Wisconsin. So those were some of the reasons. But we should also keep in mind that the journey from Quebec to the upper Midwest was also very difficult and could take several weeks.
When you talk about how the taking of people as cargo in addition to something else makes good economic sense, and then you talk about overcrowded vessels, and you talk about danger, and you talk about deaths on board, it's hard not to draw parallels or see some similarities between the experience that those immigrants had and immigrants that we're hearing about right now that are being taken either across borders in trucks or are being packed onto ships and are, you know, may or may not be sort of taken advantage of for money and may or may not make it to America to find their better life.
And that is the thing to look at, that they did seek a better life away from the homeland where opportunities were few, and that's what we see also in immigration today or migration from Northern Africa and places like that, and maybe even from Latin America to the United States where opportunities are much better. It is interesting also if you go back to this earlier period with sailing ships, to keep in mind that it was a large group of people between 1850 and 1874. Norwegian sailing ships carried 114,000 Norwegians to Canada. And from 1866, steamships began also going. And up to 1874, about 20,000 Norwegians came on sailing ships. Now, most of these came to the upper Midwest, but Canada did also want settlers, and they did send agents to Norway and also to Sweden, but mainly to Norway. It's interesting that the Canadian authorities thought that their best immigrants would come from Norway and Iceland, which is sort of something Norwegians like to hear, I think. but anyway, they thought that these people would adjust better to the Canadian climate, and also that they were fishermen more than Swedes and Danes and so forth. And there were some attempts then at forming settlements of Norwegians in Canada. And there are two main ones, and they both actually failed, and which is sort of interesting to keep in mind, since Canada was very eager to get settlers from the Nordic countries. And they sent then agents also to Germany and to France and Great Britain, of course. But in my book, I'm more interested in, of course, the Norwegian agents. And not only Canadian authorities sent agents, but also colonization companies and so forth. Now, the we should also keep in mind that Wisconsin and Minnesota and Illinois also had agents to try to convince Norwegians to come to the upper Midwest. There was a tremendous competition for immigrants at this time. And not only the states did this, but also railroad companies, colonization companies in the upper Midwest had agents. Even pastors, even Lutheran pastors, were sent up to convince people to come to the upper Midwest. Quebec was, of course, a Catholic country, more or less, and Lutheran pastors thought they would be better off in Lutheran congregations. There was no Lutheran church in Quebec. There were Baptist churches and Methodist churches and Anglican churches, and if Norwegians who did settle, for a while at least, sought the clerical service, they would have to go to these Baptist and Methodist and Anglican churches. I've gone through the records of these, and it's interesting to see the number of people who were married in the churches, the children baptized, and also people buried from these other churches.
What a fascinating idea that there was a time in our history that we have maybe conveniently forgotten, where America was actively recruiting immigrants and was encouraging people to come and be a part of our country. Things have certainly changed on that score, haven't they?
Oh, yes. Well, very much so. And but, you know, the Wisconsin, Minnesota became a state in 1858, as you know, and they needed people to build railroads, to build towns, to clear the land. And they sought then immigrants in large numbers. They also, some of the railroad companies in Minnesota, they sent agents to Norway and Sweden. And they had then, you know, a sort of a settlement area that they then reserved for the Scandinavians, and this is why parts of Minnesota are extremely Scandinavian and other parts are not.
Well, Dr. Lovell, we're running out of time, and I hate it when that happens, but thank you so very, very much for joining us this morning, and we'll get some links set up, of course, on our webpage. And again, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Thank you for having me.
Dr. Odd Lovell joined us this morning. He's the author of a number of different books about the Norwegian immigrant experience. His most recent book is called Across the Deep Blue Sea, The Saga of Early Norwegian Immigrants from Norway to America Through the Canadian Gateway. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and also by the bookstore at Fitgers, a full-service book and toy store located on the bottom floor of Fitgers on Superior Street. Online at fitgersbookstore.com.